Today is the 40th of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Our hearts are heavy in the sorrow of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And we have this continuation of Surah Nisa also. Inshallah, we'll try to do both. The verse we recite is verse number 125. And who is better in religion than the one who surrenders himself entirely to Allah while he is righteous and follows the creed of Abraham, the upright one? And Allah took Abraham as a friend. Allah has given the definition of the good religion. The religion, Allah said, وَمَنْ أَحَسَنُوا دِينًا مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمُوا وَجِهِلِ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنُوا وَاتَّبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِمَ حَنِيفًا وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. And who is better in religion than the one who surrenders himself entirely to Allah while he is righteous and he follows the creed of Abraham, the upright one. And Allah took Abraham as a friend. Bottom line is that if you claim that you are religious, but if you don't have any goodness in you, who is a righteous one, there is no benefit of the religion. If we don't have the goodness, we claim to be Muslim, but come out as the worst person in the world, what good is that religion? Bottom line of the religion is the goodness has to come from us. The goodness, the good behavior, the good moral, helping people out. Muhsin, you have to be Muhsin, the good one. And that comes if we are, when we aslamu wajhilillahi, surrender ourselves completely to Allah's commands. Then will the goodness will come. Then we'll become muhsin, the righteous one. And then we'll follow the creed of Abraham, the upright one. And Allah took whom Abraham is a friend. The creed of Abraham is the upright religion, the religion based on the fitrat, the nature of person. Today we are observing 40th of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And he is the waris of, Imam Hussain is the waris of Ibrahim alayhi salam. When we recite Zarate Imam Hussain alayhi salam, we say that you are the waris, you are the inheritor of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Why? Because he followed the creed of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He followed the creed of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam was tested many times. His biggest test was when Allah asked him to sacrifice his son in his cause on his way, and he ready to do that, and Allah changed it with the Zibhe Azim. Zibhe Azim was Karbala. Allah granted him imamat when he came to that level. His dream was to sacrifice, but the dream was fulfilled by Prophet's grandson, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, which we are mourning today, his 40th. The reward Allah gave to Imam alayhi salam in the way that Allah made him his friend, and Allah established his sacrifice in the form of Hajj. And we do Hajj every year, and in the Hajj this year there were 2 million Muslims going there. Allah gives reward to the righteous one in this world and next world. We'll read this verse, which is the last verse for this majlis today. We see reward for Ibrahim alayhi salam, that we go, this is the reward for Ibrahim alayhi salam for this world, not for the akhirat, that we go Hajj and we remember Ibrahim alayhi salam. 2 million people come. The reward of Ibrahim alayhi salam is that today there are 27 million people in Karbala remembering Imam Hussain alayhi salam, because he showed the Zibhe Azim. 27 million. And we don't know how much it will grow till the day of judgment. The world will end with the appearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam to take the revenge of the blood of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah took Ibrahim as a friend. Our sixth Imam says the meaning of friend is what? The meaning of friend is the one who is needy, who can ask his need to somebody who he trusts, that becomes a friend. Sixth Imam said about Khalil. Sixth Imam said that Ibrahim was called Khalilullah because Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, any need he came, he satisfied his needs. And Ibrahim alayhi salam never asked his need to anybody else but to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he was called Khalilullah. Khalilullah. Imam Hussein, when he went to Sajda and he was in Karbala, he didn't ask anybody anything but from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he was in last sajda, he kept asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his assistance. When you become Allah's friend, Allah is, doesn't need our friendship. And Allah just gives us things. If you become friend in this world, to the big powers, to the kings, they will use you, they'll use you, abuse you and destroy you by your friendship. But when you become friends with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gives you prestige and give good character and respect, and Allah doesn't take anything back from us because He is Ghani and Hamid. That's why in the next verse Allah described about Himself, because He talked about His friendship, but in the next verse He described who He's talking about. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلَّ شَيْءٍ مُحِيطًا. And to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth, and Allah encompasses all things. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's showing His Tawheed. Now we go to verse 127. Before we go to verse 27, I want to tell you the background of this verse, because in the beginning of Surah Nisa, there were verses came where Allah threatened that if you are afraid of orphan girls, that you cannot do justice to them, marry other one who are the good ones, two or three or four. So after that verse came, people were very afraid of marrying orphan girls, because in the time of ignorance, what happened? In the time of ignorance, what happened? That those orphan girls were abused, in the sense that if they were the pretty ones, they married them and confiscated their properties. Did not give them their inheritance. It was a system in the old time, Jahalia, ignorant time, that if somebody dies, a man dies, then some other man of the family will take children and women in the custody, and since those are the weak ones, the women and children, they will not inherit anything, he'll take the property, he'll take the women and children. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Nisa gave the rights to the women for their inheritance and the rights to the children for their inheritance. It was Islam who started the rights for oppressed one, women and children, especially orphans. It's the beauty of Islam. So when those decrees came about orphans, because there are verses in the Quran where we have recited already that if people were so afraid, Allah said that if you take the money of orphans, if you are eating the fire from the hellfire, you know, there are verses on this, eating of fire. So people started separating their food from the orphans' food. We are so afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. So then the decree came, be together. We know those verses. We read all that. It's in Baqarah. We did those stuff. Discussion before. We are not going back there. So then people went to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, Prophet, please give more decrees about ladies, because what you said, we want to make more clarification about it. Then the verse came. Now we will go to this verse. وَيَسْتَفْتُونَكَ فِي النِّسَاءِ قُلِ اللَّهِ يُفْتِيكُمْ فِيهِنَّ وَمَا يُطْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ فِي يَتَامَ النِّسَاءِ اللَّاتِي لَا تُؤْتُونَهُنَّ مَا كُتِبَ لَهُنَّ وَتَرْغَبُونَ أَن تَنْكِحُوهُنَّ وَالْمُسْتَعْفِينَ مِنَ الْوِلْدَانِ وَأَن تَقُومُوا لِلْيَتَامَى بِالْقِسْطِ وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا عَلِيمًا. Now I'll read the translation slowly, inshallah. And they ask you for the decree concerning women. Decree means pronouncement, fatwa. Say, Allah pronounces, means decrees to you concerning them. And what is recited to you in the book concerning the orphan women to whom you do not give what is appointed for them, while you desire to marry them, and also the oppressed children, and that you should deal towards orphans with equity, justice, and whatever of good you do, verily Allah knows it. Now we are understanding this verse a little better because we talked about the background. Now we go slowly on this. Allah is saying they are asking you fatwa, your decree about women because they wanted to inquire more. Say, Allah says, because the fatwa, they are asking fatwa from Prophet. Allah says, say, fatwa belongs to me, not to Prophet right now, because of why is coming from me. Why is coming from me now? Say, Allah gives fatwa to you concerning them. Now Allah explain more. And what is recited to you in the book concerning the orphan woman to whom you do not give what is appointed for them. Because Allah said, no, don't marry them before. Allah was hard on them if you don't do justice. Then Allah allowed it. So Allah is talking about why he was hard before. That don't marry if you don't do justice to them. Do other good ones. So Allah explaining that. Why I said that? Why I said that not to marry them if you don't do justice? Allah is explaining that. What Allah is saying, and what is recited to you in the book concerning orphan women to whom you do not give what is appointed for them. Because you are not, and while you desire to marry them. So what was appointed for them was their right to marry and their right to have inheritance. That's what our fifth Imam says, that what was their right? Their inheritance. And also Mizan says, the right to marry. They want to marry. And Allah says further in translation, while you desire to marry them. And also the oppressed children. And that you should deal towards orphans with equity. And whatever of good you do, verily Allah knows it. Islam is for oppressed ones. Islam is for women, Islam is for orphans, Islam is for children. Islam is for justice. At that time, if the girl was beautiful, orphan, they'll marry her, okay? And if she was ugly, they will leave her alone, not marry her, and take away her money, so that money doesn't go out from it. So they will not marry her. So her right to marry was gone, her right to inherit her property was gone, and they'll confiscate everything. That's what Allah is talking about. The next verse goes, Enimratun khafad min baaliha nushuzan aw iradan fala junaha alayhima ay yuslaha bainuhum sulha wa sulhun khair wa uhsiratil wa uhdaratil anfusush wa an wa in tuhsinu wa tattaqu wa in tuhsinu wa tattaqu fa inna allaha kana bima ta'maluna khabira. Before I go to translation of this verse, I want to give you explanation so that we can get easy on this. There was a man, his name was in the Prophet time, there was a man, his name was Rafi ibn Khatij. And his wife was old, so he went and got married to a new wife who was young. And so he said to his wife that the previous wife, who was old one, that I will not be able to spend that much nights with you, as I will prefer with this one because she's young and I want to give her more time. So she said, no, I have the full rights with you and I demand the full rights and equal justice. So he said that then I'll divorce you. So he gave her one divorce. They kept arguing, and she didn't change her stance, so he gave a second divorce. Then it came to the point that he wanted to give a third divorce. And he said, okay, if you want total justice, I cannot do that. So you go your way, I go my way. So she said, no, I want to get some reconciliation about this matter. I'll stay with you, and you can spend 2-3 nights, and I can be okay with my one night. And they stayed together. Now we know this background. Now we'll read this verse, inshallah. Now, before I go to verse, I want to explain one more. Then he got married with this second one, and then Allah sent another verse after this verse. So we keep in our mind these things, okay? Inshallah, please recite on salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. If a woman fears ill treatment from her husband or desertion, there is no sin on the couple if they effect a reconciliation between them. And reconciliation is better, but greed has been made to be present in the minds. And if you do good and keep from evil, then verily Allah is aware of what you do. إن امرأة خافت من بعلها نشوزا أو عراضا فلا جناح عليهما أن يصلح بينهم صلح خير. If the woman is afraid, just she's in fear, it has not happened yet. If a woman is afraid that his man is going to do some ill treatment or leave her, desertion, then there is no sin on them if both of them do reconciliation on this matter. That's what happened with this lady, right? That's what Allah is talking about. وَسُلْحُ خَيْرٌ and reconciliation is better, Allah says. وَسُلْحُ خَيْرٌ Allah re-emphasized. Allah loves sulh, reconciliation. Allah loves islah. Then Allah says, but the greed has been made to be present in minds. وَأُحْدِرَتَلْ أَنْفُشُّ What is that? That avarice, the greed is in our soul. Is it good or bad? This is a natural instinct that we are greedy in the sense that we want to protect our rights. In this situation, the woman wanted to protect her right, that she wants equal share, she wants husband's love, and she wants protection and house and maintenance. A man was greedy in his situation that he wanted another wife so that he can have some more good coming to him. So that's how the human being, Allah is describing it. But what Allah said, that if they do reconciliation, that's good. If she said 3 nights for her and 1 night for me, and she's willing to stay in the marriage, good. Allah is okay with that. But Allah wanted. وَإِن تُحْسِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا Allah says, okay, you did that, but what Allah says, do good and keep away from evil. Especially it was a warning to the husband. وَإِن تُحْسِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا Allah warned the husband. He said, okay, if you made new terms, that's fine. Your marriage is good. But وَإِن تُحْسِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا Allah knows what you're doing. There was a subtle threat to the man, especially. Both, but more to men because she gave up in this situation more. She wanted to stay in the marriage. So this kind of marriage in the Shariat is allowed. Now what is the Shariat? Shariat is that if the woman wants equal rights and if she cannot stay in the marriage, there is a divorce. But if she says, no, okay, I'll be okay with this marriage situation, that 3 nights for him and 1 night for me, and if she agrees, then that's fine. Then she agrees. That's what Allah is saying. Now the verse goes further. وَلَن تَسْتَطِعُوا أَن تَعَدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ لَوْ حَرَصْتُمْ فَلَا تَمِيلُوا كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ فَتَذَرُوهَا كَالْمُعَلَّقَةِ وَإِن تُصْلِحُوا تَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا Now Allah says that you will never be able to deal equitably between wives. However much you be eager, then do not incline with a total inclination to one so that you leave her as it were in suspense. And if you effect reconciliation and keep from evil, then verily Allah is forgiving, merciful. Now, this is the verse which explains that no matter how much you try, you will not be able to do equal justice to your wives. So don't do that. You go totally to one and leave other in suspense as if she's hanging in somewhere. And Allah says, but if you do reconciliation and do taqwa, keep away from evil, for inna Allah kana ghafoor rahima. Beautiful two names of Allah came. That Allah is verily forgiving and merciful. So Allah says that you will not be able to do justice between two women. So Allah says and tells us that you will not be able to do justice. So, but what Allah prohibits to do that? Go completely to one and ignore completely to other one. Because in this situation, the previous verse, what Allah was okay with, if they do reconciliation, that okay, three nights for you, one night for me. Allah is okay with that. But Allah is not okay with what? That you go totally to one and leave another one in hanging. As if she doesn't have, as if she is not even married. Now she is not married to you in reality and she cannot go and marry somebody else. Allah doesn't approve that situation. So, there is an interesting story that Ibn Abi al-Awja asked Hisham Ibn Hakam. Is in Mizan. And he asked, is it not Allah wise? He asked this question. Hisham says, certainly he is the most wise. So then that man asked Hisham, that what about this verse? Then marry such woman as seem good to you, two or three or four, but if you fear that you will not be able to do justice, then only one. On one hand, Allah says that if you cannot do justice, just do one. Now, then he recites another verse, which we read right now. And you have, it's not in your power to do justice between wives, even though you may wish, but be not inclined with total inclination, so that you leave her as it were in suspense. So Allah, in this verse, Allah is saying that you can never do justice. So don't be inclined to one totally and leave other hanging. Then after reciting that, he says that, does a wise person talk like this? That on one hand he says that if you don't do justice, then just marry one, and in this verse he says that you can never do justice. So then why he asked to marry two or three, four? So he got worried and he went to Medina to ask this question with our sixth Imam. He came to Medina. Imam said, this is not the hush time. Why are you here, Hisham? He said, I am in trouble. Somebody asked me this serious question. That what is this? These two verses go against each other. Imam said that in the first verse when it came, that which is in the beginning of the surah, that marry such women as seem good to you, two or three or four, but if you fear that you will not do justice, then marry only one, means the maintenance, that you should do maintenance to them with justice. But the second verse which we recited, that you can never do justice about their love, that no matter what you try, you can do maintenance easy, it's easy, but love is from heart. You cannot love everybody equally, and that's okay, Allah says. That's second verse about the love. So when Imam answered, then he went back to Hisham. That person, Hisham, went and answered. That person said, Hisham, that's not your answer. Where did you learn from? That was Imam, wisdom, you know. Alhamdulillah, bilalami. So Mizan has a long discussion about, because we have this now false concept in our community, and Mizan cleared it. Our false concept in community is that, oh, okay, since you cannot do justice to more than one woman, Allah says, so just marry one. So don't marry second one. Now Mizan argued on this, that if that was the case, then why Allah asked to marry two, three, and four then? And why Prophet married, and why people have been marrying for so many centuries? It means that Allah wants to do justice as much as you can, but there would be some inclination, it is accepted and tolerated, which Allah explained next verse. All Allah wants is not to do intentional injustice, and do not go to one completely and leave other one hanging. That is the understanding about this marriage. And now the beautiful word comes that And Allah talks repeatedly about in this marriage situation, taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. That be aware of taqwa, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these, all these situations. It's for purity of your heart. To go marriage flourishing and have the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنْ يَتَفَرَّقَ يُغْنِ اللَّهَ كُلَّ مِنْ سَعَاتِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ وَعَسِيًا حَكِيمًا. Now Allah talks about if they get separated. Now the translation goes like that. Yet if they separate, Allah will enrich each out of His abundance, and Allah is all embracing the wise. See, this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see this is a miracle, that the Quran is a miracle of Allah. Nobody can write these verses. This verse shows it. وَإِنْ يَتَرَفَرَّقَ يُغْنِ اللَّهَ كُلَّمْ مِنْ سَعَاتِ وَكَانَ اللَّهَ وَعَسِيًا حَكِيمًا. And if they separate, Allah will enrich each out of His abundance. And Allah is all embracing the wise. No matter who was at fault, no matter husband was at fault, no matter wife was at fault, Allah, if they get divorced, separate, Allah will enrich both of them. Because He is the Lord of the universe. He is the Lord of the universe. He is the Lord. He will take care of both of them. How will take care of them, both of them? How will enrich them? By giving them a new partner, new spouse with a new love and new children, a new house. That's what happens, that most of... See, Allah loves marriage. Allah loves marriage. Allah loves taqwa and reconciliation, but Allah doesn't like the miserable marriage where they are stuck in and marriage has become a pure pain in their life. Allah doesn't like it. Just for the sake that they are afraid that if they leave this marriage, they will not get anything in life. And they make it miserable. Allah is talking about, you can divorce if you cannot leave each other. Or if it's affecting your life so miserably and also affecting your religion, you can leave. Trust me, I'll take care of both of you. Now the next verse goes, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah starts the next verse with the reminding to Allah belongs what is in the heaven and what is in the earth. Why Allah says that? Why does the next verse start with this? Because Allah is showing His Tawheed, that believe me who belongs to the heavens and earth, that I am the one who is wasa, and I am the one who is Hakim. I have the wasat. I have the means to give you. I am the wise one. Trust me, the universe belongs to me, that I'll create good ones for you. Why are you stuck to this situation? There are narrations from the Prophet that if somebody is stuck with a mean wife and terrible wife, and he's praying to Allah, Allah, help me, save me, and if he's not divorcing, Allah will not accept his prayer. Why? Because I give you right to divorce, and now you are asking me to pray that to save from her torture. I will not accept you. You are not doing what I ask you to do. And this verse says, "In yatarafarraqa." It's not only for men, also for women. If a man is torturous, women can leave him. But the rules, what are the rules for divorce? We are not discussing here. You can contact your marja and get the more details about it. We are not discussing that. We are just discussing this verse right now. Details, ask for marja. وَلَقَدْ وَسَّنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَإِنْ تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَنِيًّا حَمِيدًا. And suddenly we enjoined those who were given the book before you and you that you should be in the fear of Allah. And if you disbelieve, then verily to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. And Allah is self-sufficient, praiseworthy. Now Allah is talking again, taqwa, taqwa, fear. Allah says, certainly we did wasiyat. وَلَقَدْ وَسَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. Allah again says that we have enjoined those who have given the book before you and you that you should be in fear of Allah. Fear of Allah. Why fear of Allah? See, Allah talked about, why this verse right now, this position? Why this verse is here? Mizan says, because Allah talks repeatedly about taqwa, taqwa, taqwa and marriage. Allah is reminding again taqwa in, says, I ask taqwa for the people of the book and you to have taqwa. If you have taqwa, the marriage would be beautiful. If there is no taqwa, then the marriage will be ruined. And they said, wa in takfaru? Then again Allah says, if takfaru means if you disbelieve. There are two kind of disbeliefs. One disbelief is open disbelief. That you don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Prophet and the books and Masumin, there's one disbelief, but there is a hidden disbelief. What is the hidden disbelief? Is the disobedience of Allah, not do taqwa. There's also hidden disbelief. So what Allah says then? For inna lillahi ma fi samawati ma fil ard, kana Allahu ghaniyan hamida. Allah says, if you do disbelieve me, verily to Allah belongs what is in the heavens and what is in the earth. Kana Allahu ghaniyan hamida. Says, I don't need you. I'm self-sufficient and I don't need to praise me. I'm praiseworthy. I don't need you. Then Allah repeat again, وَلِلَّهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. Allah says, and to Allah belongs what is in the heavens and what is on earth, and Allah sufficient as a protector. If we believe وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا is enough for us. In the marriage situation, in divorce situation, in dealing with worldly problems, in the business, كَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. كَفَى بِاللَّهِ, this verse is enough. وَلِلَّهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. What a verse to keep in our heart and our souls. But this verse came according to Mizan for the next verse. Isha yuzhibkum ayyum nasu wa yatti bi akharin wa kana Allahu ala zalika qadira. And if he pleases, he can remove you, O people, and bring others. And Allah is powerful over that. It is about taqwa again. That if you don't do taqwa, Allah will remove you, O people. Because he said in beginning, to prove this, وَلِلَّهَ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. He made the introduction to this verse. إِنْ يَشَى يُزِبْكُمْ أَيُّهُ النَّاسُ وَيَتِّ بِآخَرِينَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ قَدِيرًا. That if he pleases, he will remove you and bring the new ones, others ones. And and Allah is powerful over that. When this verse came, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was next to Salman al-Hamadi. He patted on his back, said, this verse came from you, for your people. So you see what happened. And there are narration from sixth Imam also, that when our Qayyim comes, our Shia will leave him and the worshipper of sun and moon will join him. Allah doesn't need us all the time if we don't do taqwa. Who will leave him? Imam? Who doesn't do taqwa? This is kind of hidden disbelief. Taqwa is key to be with our Imam. Today is 40th of Imam Hussain. Taqwa. Taqwa is key. We will be with Imam Hussain if we do taqwa. 40th is 40th. When we do taqwa, we are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. من كان يريد ثواب الدنيا فعند الله ثواب الدنيا والآخرة وكان الله سميعا بصيرا. Whoever desires the reward of this world, then with Allah is the reward of this world and the hereafter. Allah is all hearing, all seeing. That's why when we go Quran teach in the Surah Baqarah, رَبَّنَا عَاتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. This is the verse in the Quran Hakim, Baqarah. That Allah gives reward of this world and next world. When we go to see Kaaba, Allah says in this verse, whoever desires the reward of this world, then with Allah is the reward of this world and hereafter. And Allah is all hearing, all seeing. Allah is reward for both worlds. This whole world is going for this world, except believers. Everybody is materialistic, loving this world. Same thing was done by Bani Umayyah and Bani Abbas. They were done in luxury and palaces. And their name and fame and might, they were worldly people. So whatever they got, they got it. They got their empire. Allah gave them empire because they wanted it. Today's Zalimin have their empire. They had their empires. But their empire was lasted very short and they were gone. And still we are not hereafter. We are still in this world. Hereafter has not started yet and nobody even knows them. Imam Hussain got this world and next world. Imam Hussain, we are not in hereafter yet. We are in here in this world. And what Allah gave Imam Hussain in this world, today is 14th. Those kings wanted name and fame for this world to have the might. See the name and fame of Imam Hussain on the 14th when 27 million people are today mourning for Imam Hussain on their feet to Karbala. Which king can do that? Who the oppressor can get that kind of name and fame and glory in this world that people will walk on the feet just to give the references Imam Hussain's name and fame? Allah gives the reward of this world and next world. Imam Hussain got the reward of this world we see today. And this is the beginning of Imam Hussain's. We don't know up to the end time how many more will come for the name and fame of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Our time will come and Isa Ruhullah will come to take the revenge of Imam Hussain's blood. That's his name and fame in this world. And the next world will be, he is the prince of the paradise. I conclude my majlis of 40th for this issue about people making fun of the Prophet Allah's verses about 2 and 3 and 4 marriages. Because we read those verses in this. They came in the Surah Nisa. And people have made the polygamy as a ridiculous thing. Karbala is the healer and teacher for our social illnesses. The social illnesses which we have developed in our community about polygamy, they have made fun of it. Karbala teach it. Imam Hussain had his first wife was Bibi Shehrbano raised Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. This is his first wife. His second wife was Layla. She raised Ali Akbar alayhi salam. The martyr who was a martyr of the Karbala, who was one of the greatest sacrifices from Imam Hussain alayhi salam, was Ali Akbar, who was raised by his second wife, Bibi Layla. The third wife, the Bibi Rabab, she raised Ali Asghar alayhi salam. And Bibi Sukena, she raised these two beautiful gems of Karbala. When I'm describing you, I cannot describe you. When Aziz said to these ladies, these prisoners, now you can go to your home from Medina. I leave you alone from the prisons. Now all these ladies with our fourth imam wanted to leave the prison. They